SBC Media.
Welcome to the iGaming Daily Podcast, analysing the news from the betting and gaming industry all over the globe, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market.
Hello and welcome to another edition of our CRM-focused iGaming Daily Podcast. Once again, I'm joined by Optimove CEO Pini Akul. Welcome back to the podcast, Pini. How have you been doing today? You okay?
Oh, great, James. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. I always look forward to our conversations. But before we actually delve into today's topic, because we're going to be talking about your positionless marketer, but I want to kind of take listeners back to the first podcast that we did. And I meant to ask this to you in the last podcast, but completely forgot. You mentioned that you'd taken up boxing, or, you know, boxing training. And since then, there's been two major fights announced. We've had the Tyson Fury the Usyk fight, which is fast approaching. I think it's in a few weeks' time, and more of a showcase than a fight. Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson.
Tyson, yes.
Yeah. Now you've had experience within the ring a little bit more, and I just kind of get your thoughts on those fights and who you would place money behind. So we'll go with Tyson v Usyk.
Yeah, I think Usyk. Usyk is like he's like this freak of nature that doesn't. I don't think he's beatable by any human. he's just relentless, like this energy. Like you don't. It's super hard to fight against this guy. Like it's yeah. But a puncher's chance, right? So Tyson Fury, who knows, right? One thing goes and hits. And who knows? But my money would be on Usyk.
Yeah. See, I'm leaning towards Usyk, and I think I mentioned in the first podcast that I'm actually not a massive fan of Tyson Fury. And being from Manchester, that's apparently sacrilege, and you can't say that. But if he shows up in any condition like he did with the
Ngannou.
Yeah, with Ngannou, he's got absolutely no chance. But I mean, I've seen images of him and kind of like training footage of his recent physical condition, and he looks in the best shape I've ever seen him. Like, how that transpires, because you've lost all that weight and you've still got the power behind that punch, I don't know. But I'll lean towards Usyk, but a Fury win does set up Joshua v. Fury, which every British boxing fan has been crying for.
Right. Yeah, that would be really nice.
Yeah. And then the Jake Paul v. Mike Tyson showcase. I'm not going to call it a fight. It's a showcase.
So my view is like Jake Paul is actually doing it very, very seriously for now. I think now something like 40 years. He's training like he's in Costa Rica, I think, training like crazy all day long, every day. And he's actually getting really better. And I think he does have the natural raw talent to become. I think he's already a pretty good boxer. Now, Tyson, I can't compute this notion of age, right? Because they keep on, you see all these videos of him kind of like doing something very intense for 30 seconds or 20 seconds. So you don't really know. He's relatively an old man for an athlete. So it's really, really hard to compute. It could be very embarrassing and kind of like, to Jake Paul in a way, like you're beating up an old man, or we're going to see a glimpse of the old Tyson, and then like probably Jake Paul is going to be in trouble. So I really don't know. I really don't know on this one.
Yeah, I think from the get-go, I think we're still waiting for the Texas Boxing Commission to kind of sign it off. I'm heavily leaning that it shouldn't be signed off, even though he still looks good in his little snippets, like you said, like 30-second snippets, so you don't really know his longevity.
Right,
I
mean, right.
He's still, what, 57, 58? Probably, I'm a bit cautious, but I don't think he should be in the ring just for health and safety concerns. But if he does enter the ring, Jake Paul, I kind of agree with you. He's taking this seriously. He's doing well for who he is. I think the Tommy Fury fight was a bit of a shambles, to be honest. But he stood toe-to-toe with a boxer and made him look less than average, which is right. Is a testament to himself. The boxing fan in me says, Mike Tyson, I'd love him to end this YouTube shambles that we're seeing in boxing right now. But, you know, that's our opinions on the boxing. It's a nice little intro. But it goes without saying that the true heavyweight champion is Optimove, because you are the number one CRM marketing solution in the iGaming market. Wouldn't you agree, Benny?
Thank you. I don't like to be vain, but I would hope that that's the case. Some data backs it up, but I would hope that that's the case.
Like a true people's champion. So modest. You know, and you know, you're the supporter of the iGaming Daily podcast. And as part of your sponsorship, Optimove are offering new clients a free first month when they buy Optimove. For more information and claim the free month, go to optimove.com/SBC. I will leave the links in the podcast description below. So I mentioned it a bit higher up in the episode. The topic of today's podcast is something that you unveiled at your recent Optimove Connect conference, the positionless marketer, and just get into grips on what this is and how it impacts the gaming community. So Penny, kind of first off, just for our listeners out there, can you provide us with an overview of what this is and what inspired you regarding positionless marketer?
Sure, I would love to do that. So for me, what inspired me mostly is my passion for basketball, actually. So I'm this big basketball buff. I watch all the, you know, all the comment, mostly NBA, right? But I watch all the talk shows and all the commentaries. So like First Things First, Undisputed, a First Take, all of these shows all the time. I watch the games, I watch highlights of the games, I follow the players, I follow the gossip. It's like my soap opera, right? So I'm deeply in it. And something really interesting that happened in basketball. So for me, basically, I used to love basketball as a teenager. Then I kind of like lost interest for 20-something years. And then in COVID, I basically started watching it again. And I saw that the game has really changed. It became basically positionless. So what does that mean? If you don't know basketball, typically basketball is played in roles, right? So you have the point guard, that the job of the point guard is kind of like the traditional job, right? Is to facilitate, to organize the game, to pass the ball to other players who are in better positions, to organize the offense, typically the shortest guy on the floor. And on contrast, the biggest, the tallest person on the floor is the five position, the center. That would be typically a person that would grab a lot of rebounds. They would play with their backs to the basket, like do post-ups. They would shoot the ball very close to the basket because they're tall. And typically kids would be taught to play the position, right? So if you were spotted as a kid, you're really tall, you would be taught to play like a center, like a five. And that was kind of like mostly how they played basketball in the old world. And then a few things happened that created change, right? So media, young kids started watching the likes of Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant and things. And they didn't want, like, even tall young kids like a Giannis Antetokounmpo or like a Victor Wembanyama. They watched kind of like their idols growing up, and they would kind of like work on their jump shot and shoot from the 3-point line. They would work on their handle, kind of dribble the ball better, because it's more fun, right? So they started to become less limited and less connected and tied down to the traditional roles, to the positions that they typically had. And now in today's game, you are seeing really insane things, right? So you're seeing people, like I was talking about Victor Wembanyama. It's a 19-year-old player. It's his first year in the league. He's a French player. He's 7'4", which is 225 centimeters, 2 meters, 25 centimeters. People say he's more. Like, they're not sure. It's that maybe even closer to 2.3 meters. He's insanely high, but the guy kind of like dribbles the ball not like a guard, but he dribbles really, really well. He shoots 3-pointers, he takes jump shots, he passes, he's still huge, right? So he's like a monster with all of those skills. It's insane. He's so, so young, right? He's still not playing a lot. They're watching his body. You got a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, he's a 7-foot monster, and he could grab a rebound on one side of the court and run cross court, dribbling the ball amazingly well with great mastery, and then dunk the ball on the other side. So you're seeing things that you've never seen. And obviously Steph Curry, right, which made every shot that would seem in the past as a ridiculous shot, he made those shots legitimate. that's basically changing the game. So you're no longer seeing a point guard or a shooting guard or a center. You're seeing basically roles, right? Which is based on skills, like 3-and-D. So somebody who can shoot threes and defend. You're seeing like a rim protector who can do this and this and this and that. So positionless basketball really changed basketball. And when I look at marketing, I came up with this idea of the positionless marketer. And I think AI, you know, the AI is all the rage, right? Everybody's enjoying, probably a lot of people are enjoying ChatGPT or Gemini or things like that. We are now writing better with it. Are you using it, James?
I dabble with ChatGPT. I've tried to steer away from it. I only use it when I need to, but it's a useful tool. I know someone who uses it religiously and paid for subscription for it, and it enhances their ability tenfold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I, for example, I pay for a subscription. I pay $20 a month. I use it all the time. Obviously, you know, English is not my first language. So when it comes to writing, especially in English, right, it does help me. My English is pretty good, like, you know, not being native and all, but still pretty good. But at the same time,
better than mine.
No, I wouldn't say that, but it's it helps me. It helps me a lot. It just enhances me, right? So I feel like if I was like an okay writer, or I would have to work really, really hard to write something of very high quality, now I can do it really fast. Same with images, right? So at Optimove Connect, I prepared my deck for the show and I presented it to close to 500 people. And I prepared my deck with ChatGPT. I created the images with ChatGPT. I had ChatGPT proofread my English. ChatGPT gave me advice on how to organize the slides. I actually used one of the pieces of advice and actually changed the deck. And what I was saying to people, I was like, look, the notion of the positionless marketer. So if you think about it traditionally, you would have a marketer that would be, you know, focused on content, right? Somebody doing content marketing. Somebody else is doing design work, right? Studio work, design work. Another marketer would do ops, right? Different types of operations work. Another marketer would be mostly around data. So each one would have a position, right? Same thing, a position. My position is content. That's what I do, right? Now, with AI, you may be really good at writing, but all of a sudden, maybe you can do some, you have some better skills with design because you can get some images. So you can dabble with design a little bit. So maybe you are a writer designer all of a sudden. You're not only a writer, right? And somebody else who's really good at data, maybe now they can write. So they become a data storyteller. And somebody else who's really good at project management and operations, maybe now they can use AI to analyze data better, right? You know that you can, in ChatGPT version 4, you can upload an Excel file and it would analyze the heck out of it. And it would tell you the insights and what's going on there. So all of a sudden, as an operations guy, I can now analyze data. So I'm an ops person. I'm a project manager that's analyzing data. So the great thing, the reason, isn't that cool?
It's insanely cool. And I always ask this when a new tool or method or an ideology enters the market. Like, how does positionless marketer enhance the gaming industry and break the mold to kind of what's already out there?
So I think the point is that if you think about those traditional roles, so it goes back to the notion, if we're talking about, you know, CRM marketing, which is my profession, right? So essentially, to produce a campaign or to produce a personalized experience for a customer or for a player, you need to go through some kind of an assembly line, right? So you need to go to station A and get the service there, which may be the data department. Hey guys, I need a segment. Then you go, or I need a group of customers. I'm going to send an image. I'm going to target them. Then you go to station B, which could be the design function, and like, hey, here's a brief. Can you create a picture of this and this and this and that? And I need copywriting of this and this. So you just go through the stations and you assemble the campaign. It's like an assembly line, right? And that takes a ton of time. it creates a lot of miscommunication between the functions. Sometimes one of the functions, somebody's on vacation, their priorities are different, they need to do this, they need to do that. So this is a very, you know, and it's a necessary evil, right? With some, I mean, up till today, but right now with the position as marketer, what you can do is, first of all, you can work in smaller teams. So now you don't need five departments to produce a campaign. You can produce a campaign with two departments. So smaller teams are great because, you know, you can produce a lot more within kind of like an A team. And yes, you still go to kind of like your data analyst or your data scientist to get something very, very sophisticated, but you can do a lot more yourself. You become more autonomous. So smaller teams, that's number one. Second part is like, it's way more fun, right? It unlocks, we like to, you know, it's a word I like to use. It's called multi-potentiality, right? So it unlocks every marketer's multi-potentiality, right? So you can do more than one thing. Is it, you know, how cool is that? It's so cool that I can basically, I can do some design, I can do some copy, I can do some data, I can do some ops, so all of those things. So that's the second thing. And also, everything becomes more efficient because when you communicate with different professions and different departments, you have a better language with them because you have you felt their job a little bit. So if I do a little bit of design, when I speak to designers, the conversation is a lot more fruitful, right? The conversation is just vibrant because I understand what they're doing now. It's not very, it's not siloed, right? So those things I think are what's really cool. So it's much more efficiency, you know, more campaigns, better campaigns, more personalized experiences, and all through the position as marketer.
Perfect. And in, so you have an article which breaks down position as marketer, and I'll put it in the episode description link below. But you broke down positionless marketer in five kind of subsections, and that's versatility, integration and collaboration, adaptability to change, data-driven decision-making, and customer-centric focus. And you also mentioned in your press release that this was made possible due to the advancements in various fields, such as technology, data, and analytics. Could you just dive deeper into several key factors that kind of birthed positionless marketer? I know you already mentioned what inspired it via like Michael Jordan and basketball, but you know, what birthed positionless marketer from a CRM perspective?
So first of all, there's elements to it that are already happening right now, and there's elements that are kind of like futuristic. So first of all, the reason kind of like we came up with it, because I think this is something that even before kind of like the rise of large language models and the advancements in image recognition and image creation and all of those, the big boom of AI, we've been at it for a long time, since 2012. And since 2012, we have been empowering the positionless marketer, right? So at OptiMove, even back in 2012, marketers would do their own segmentation, research their own data, have access to all the data, have access to insights because of some of the predictive models that we have in the platform. And also they would analyze their own campaigns. They wouldn't go to a team of analysts and do that over there. They would analyze everything in the platform. So we've been championing this approach from day one. And right now we're just basically doubling down on that. We're always going to be the place for the positionless marketer. And OptiGenie, our AI suite, is exactly how we're going to do that. So as a marketer, you can go deeper into your data. You can, you know, we have AI capabilities to help you create content. So to create content better in an easier fashion. So all of those things are just coming into fruition inside the OptiMove platform.
Perfect. And we are coming close on the time now. And just to round off the question, again, let's look into the future now with positionless marketer. What is your dream scenario for positionless marketer, and what do you truly envisage the future to look like with this tool, with this method, ideology?
So the dream is that ultimately, let's say 95% of personalized experiences are being done by one small A team that can do everything themselves. And when that happens, you get immense speed. The time from ideation to execution becomes really, really small. The the speed of iteration. So this whole idea of test and learn and, you know, experimenting with something, understanding if it works or doesn't, changing it, just ultimately unlocks optimization to a whole new different degree. And when you do that, when, you know, with you know, an approach like the Optimum approach, when you can unlock optimization with Optimum, that's the fun of it. That's the joy. You know, everything becomes better. You know, the numbers go up. Your players are more delighted. They're going to reward you with more loyalty. And that's how I see it.
Perfect. Pini, every time we have a conversation, you take us on a beautiful story and you kind of hear the passion in your voice. You're a really good storyteller. I like this. But, you know, we have run out of time. Pini, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next month on the next CRM Focus podcast. Will I see you at any of the SBC events, either North America Casino Beat Summit or Canadian Gaming Summit? I believe are the ones in between our next episodes.
Yes, I believe so. I need to check with my PA, but I think I'm going to some of those.
Perfect. I'll find out which ones you're going to, and we'll meet up for a coffee or something a little stronger.
Cheers, Matt. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Pini.
Thank you for listening to today's iGaming Daily Podcast, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. If you want to find out more about some of the subjects raised today, feel free to explore any of the sites in the SBC News Network or check out the latest edition of the SBC Leaders Magazine. Happy reading.